Yeah, don't bring it. Let's go.
All right, y'all. Welcome back. Another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James. There he is. We are talking about UFC Fight Night, Dolidze versus Imavov. You got Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov at the Apex. Hot, 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 hot. Everybody's favorite fight location, the basement in Vegas. Looking forward to it. There's actually some pretty interesting fights on this card here, so let's get into it.
Yeah, man, we were joking about kind of this being a bit of a forgettable card coming off of a an off week, but as we kind of look down at this this card, kind of some exciting fights, some exciting prospects. You're just talking about co-main event, but we got, or I mean, you're talking about that main event, but we have Drew Dober in that co-main event, Rude Boy, Randy Brown, Viviana Araújo. It's going to be a nice little event that I think we'll be talking about with a lot of positive adulations next week.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out. I think there are some sleeper fights on this card. There's a couple fights that look like they're going to be exciting either way, whether it's a quick stoppage on the one side or a quick stoppage on the other side or a back and forth war. I think there's a few fights that have the potential for that kind of fireworks. There's also some matchups between people that nobody knows, but, you know, that's how you learn about the next new contenders and stuff, you know? So let's get into it. We'll start at the main event. You have Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov at middleweight. A couple of fighters who try to take a step up in their last fights, kind of like fringe 15, fringe top 10 guys, if you will. And both of them took a step up in Dolidze's case against Vittori, and in Imavov's case against Strickland, and were turned back by perennial contenders and those two. Dolidze looked pretty good in the Marvin Vittori fight, but Vittori landed a little bit more accurate shots over three rounds. The fight didn't go to the ground and stay on the feet the whole time. Imavov looked good for the first round against Strickland, as a lot of people do, and then ended up getting gassed out, and Strickland kind of just drowned him in deep water in that fight. It looked really good. That was at the beginning of the year last year. So Imavov, if you guys aren't familiar, is a French kickboxer. He trains with Cyril Gane over there in Paris and has a pretty similar style, all things considered. He's very light on his feet. He likes to switch stance. He likes to throw some like front kicks to the body, poke at you, prod at you, and rack up that volume, so to speak. He has a few knockouts on his record. He's definitely not like a one-shot knockout kind of guy. A little bit more of like a, break you down and exhaust you, land a bunch of knees and elbows and give you different looks until you get overwhelmed and then finish you like that. A couple submissions on his early career, but he hasn't done anything as far as grappling in the UFC or at the higher levels. On the other side, Roman Dolidze has huge knockout power. Great jiu-jitsu, very interesting on the ground. When he gets to the ground, he's kind of like a spider monkey. He'll catch you in all sorts of leg locks and things like that. He caught Jack Hermanson in a really nasty calf slicer and used it for ground and pound. He caught Phil Hawes with something, tore apart his knee, and then ended up knocking him out on the feet after that. So kind of a big threat on the ground, but also ton of power there in his hands. So in on paper, it sounds like, you know, I'm building him out to be this like well-rounded guy. He's dangerous everywhere. He's not very technical anywhere, I'd say. I think Dolidze is much more of a wild man than Imavov. Imavov is much more reserved and technical on the feet and on the ground when he gets there. He's a little bit more patient, a little bit more composed. Both guys have shown some issues with their cardio, but I feel like Dolidze, Imavov has drowned people. Dolidze is more of a first round finisher kind of guy, or, you know, second round if he gets there. But both guys have looked kind of worse for wear as the fight goes on. So I expect this fight to, if it does go to later rounds, to get very sloppy, as we love middleweight to be, you know. That being said, I don't know. For me personally, as far as making a prediction in this fight, I feel like you kind of have to side. I mean, you know, I always go for the side of the more technical fighter, it feels like. And a lot of times that leads to me getting my heart broken by the more athletic or, you know, more physically imposing fighter. But I feel like Imabov is a little bit too slick for Dolidze. And I don't know. Imabov is kind of hard to kill. You know what I mean? I don't think he's ever been finished. Okay, he got submitted once early in his career by guillotine choke. That was his debut fight. Since then, he hasn't been submitted or knocked out. So, I mean, I feel like against somebody like, you know, Vittori in his last fight for Dolidze, where this guy's like super hard to kill, it's kind of hard for Dolidze to build. He doesn't really have a style that wins decisions. You know what I mean? Kind of similar to like Kevin Randleman in that sense. If you guys remember Kevin Randleman from back in the day, where it's like, yeah, he can definitely kill you, but if he can't kill you, you could probably just, you know, outbox him or even outgrapple him when he gets tired to a decision victory. You know, some guys don't have that style that wins them the decisions.
How much 5-round experience do these guys have?
I mean, Imabov won 5 rounds with Strickland. I don't think he's ever gotten 5 rounds besides that, at least not in the UFC. Yeah, no, he's never been 5 rounds besides that. Dolidze has never made it past the 3rd round. He's never been scheduled for a 5-round fight either. So,
you see this even going to that 4th and 5th round?
I mean, I think it could, honestly. I think if it's Imabov's fight, I think it goes there, because I feel like Dolidze is also a guy that's hard to finish. So if Imabov does win, I could see him kind of just wearing him down and, you know, being the more slick guy in those last 2 or 3 rounds. And really, like, you know, wearing down Dolidze when Dolidze can't get that finishing position. So, I mean, if it does go decision, I like Dolidze, or I like Imabov.
Imabov, yeah. That seems to be the smarter decision anyway. They got him at, right now, they got him at the early favorite on UFC.
Yeah, I think he's like a minus 160 or something. It's not a huge favorite by any means. You know, Dolidze is very dangerous, and he could catch him in some funky position or scramble or something and, you know, rip his leg off. I don't think Imabov's really fought the grappler, the type of Dolidze yet. So, you know, we could be having that discussion actually, like, oh, wow, Dolidze is really that good, you know? I'm personally a big fan of these Georgian fighters, this new wave of Georgian fighters.
Oh, you're frozen on Ryan.
Robin Balashvili, Ilya Topuria, Roman Dolidze, you know, Giga Chikadze to a certain extent. There's some really good fighters coming out of Georgia. So I'd like to see Roman win. I think it'd be the more exciting victory, probably. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Hello. That's all right. It's all right. Just, well, we can cut it out. So then we'll just pick it back up from shit. What I was saying. Yeah, it just seems Imabov seems to be the safer bet on this one. If you're gonna go, I was curious of your insight on the 5-round strength of it to even see if it kind of, yeah, that might be a safer bet as well. I was like, I don't know if this goes 5 rounds, man. I think someone gets finished, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible, you know. Like I said, both guys get very tired. So, you know, if whoever's the fresher fighter, if it goes to the 3rd, 4th, 5th, might be able to get a late finish that way.
I'll probably side with Imabov Moneyline just to put that one to rest. I think that's probably my safest play on that one. But that seems to be like a good sleeper fight. I think that might, like you said, I hope it gets nice and sloppy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm probably going to go with Imabov as well. I'm going to go over 1.5 for him, or maybe over 2.5. I do think that if he wins this fight, I think it goes a little bit longer. I think he kind of frustrates Dolidze, as Vittori was able to do with the movement and with the speed. And, you know, we're talking about Marvin Vittori here. He's not necessarily the, you know, most foot speed. You know, he's not the most fast on his feet. Striker. He's much more of like a plant and throw a 1-2 and circle out, that kind of thing. And Imabov has a lot more tools, and I think he's going to be able to frustrate Dolidze and get that either late finish or a decision victory. That being said, I mean, Dolidze could just explode forward and get the kill, but I do feel like what's it called? I do feel like Imavov is going to get it done. Let's move on to the co-main event here. This is a really exciting matchup at lightweight. We have Renato Moicano, Money Moicano, Moicano wants money, versus Drew Dober. This is going to be a good one, man. I'm pretty excited for this matchup. I think both guys are super dangerous. Dober, power striker, great chin, solid wrestler, but doesn't really like to go there. I think he's definitely more suited for a fight on the feet. Renato Moicano, a little bit more technical and throwing straight punches on the feet. He does have a nice jab, a very nice jab. Great jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is very methodical, classic style jiu-jitsu, very traditional, similar to that of, you know, this is a lofty comparison, but a very similar style in jiu-jitsu to like Damian Maya or Antonio Carlos Jr., like Shoeface, if you're familiar, where it's just kind of like very like patient. If the guy gives you something, you'll take it, but much more concerned about routes to victory versus like Roman Dolidze, who is much more like, if I see it, I'm gonna rip it off. You know what I mean? Moicano will take his time. He'll find a choke or an arm triangle or something and use it to get to a better position. So if the fight goes to the ground, I think it's a pretty cut and dry striker versus grappler matchup, honestly. I think if the fight goes to the ground, it's gonna be Moicano. I think if it stays on the feet, Dober has a great chance of chinning Moicano. He's been knocked out before. By the likes of Chan Sung Jung, by the likes of Brian Ortega. I think he got dropped into a submission against Ortega, but you know, he's had his bell rung a couple times. Jose Aldo rung his bell, Rafael Fiziev. So, you know, Drew Dober could certainly find that chin and make it a short night for Moicano. He's relatively hittable. But if Moicano can land that jab, if he can, you know, Drew Dober's been hurt before. He got knocked out not too long ago against Matt Frivola. He got dropped by McKinney as well. If Moicano can, you know, stick that jab out there, keep Dober at the end of his punches, and then get it to the ground, I think he's going to have his way with Dober on the ground. So either way, I think this fight's not going to go the distance. I don't know who to side on. They have Dober as a slight underdog right now at like plus 120. So I'm not sure who's going to get it done here, but I do feel like under 1.5 is a good play. I might put some on Dober because I could see him getting the knockout, or maybe I'll do like that. They have like a dual prop option on DraftKings where it's like Renato by submission or Dober by KO. I think that's a good bet. That'll probably be like minus 250 though. So we'll see what happens. What do you got in this one, Jordan?
Could you just put a bet on somebody getting finished? Well, I mean, I guess that's exactly what the same thing is, isn't it?
You could do it. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But that would be a little bit safer because in the event that Dober gets knocked out by Moicano, which is possible. That could happen. Moicano hits pretty hard. You know. Yeah,
that would probably be my bet if I was gonna pick an individual in this fight. I'm gonna ride with Drew Dober, partly because in the main event I already sided with the favorite, so maybe a nice little underdog action in this one can help add a little juice to the pot so far.
Yeah, man, for sure. Going down the card, there's another
the Rude Boy.
Yeah, he's back, Rude Boy Randy Brown, our boy. I've been friends with Randy Brown on Xbox for like a few years now. Sometimes I see him jump on there and play Rainbow Six. But he's a good guy, Randy Brown. He's got a very
and not once have you asked him like, hey, you want to come on the pod?
Well, I mean, hey, you know, I'm not the only one that's friends with him, you know. But I'll reach out to my boy. But yeah, so he's fighting Muslim Salikov here. This is a fight that was supposed to happen a few months ago. I believe Salikov got injured, or one of them got injured or sick or something, and they had to reschedule it. But, you know, I mean, we broke this down before. I think we both picked Randy Brown in the fight. He's the younger, more athletic fighter. Both guys are very well-rounded, but I do expect this fight to stay on the feet for the most part. I think Salikov has kind of been... he got old overnight, you know. I love his style. He's very tricky. He likes to, you know, pop his jab out, throw spinning stuff, shoulder feint a lot. Randy Brown is a little bit more, I wouldn't call him wild on the feet, but Salakov is definitely the more tight technical fighter. Brown has a great front kick to the body that he loves to use. He's also got fast hands, great length, which I think is going to be a big factor in this fight. If Salakov can't get past the reach, I see Randy Brown staying on the outside and kind of just, you know, keeping Salakov at the end of his punches and finding a decision victory there. I don't think either guy is going to get finished in this matchup. If anything, Salakov might be able to find like a sneaky KO, but I think the much more likely outcome is Randy Brown to win by a decision. That's where I'm going to go with this one. Who do you think, Jordan?
Dude, I'm riding the same one. We ride with the Rude Boy.
Yeah, that's our guy. We love to see Randy Brown win. I think the only time we picked against him was when he fought Jack Della Maddalena, which was like, you know, it was a pretty bad matchup for him.
You didn't enjoy saying that.
No. I mean, I'm a fan of both of those guys. I'm not sure who Jack is fighting next, but I think he's fighting Gilbert Burns, actually. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that'd be a good matchup.
But yeah, a few more fights on this card that are pretty interesting. Middleweight fight in the middle of this main card is Aliashkov Kruzaev versus Makhmud Muradov. Not really sure which way to go on this one,
You skipped over Viviana Araújo versus Natalie Silva.
That opens up the card. That's the UFC, the first fight on the main
UFC
card.
UFC has it like right after Randy Brown, my bad.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking on Wiki, but either way, I mean, that's the fight that we're going to be breaking down. We might as well do it now. Viviana Araújo versus Natalia Silva. This is a pretty solid matchup at women's flyweight, honestly. As close to a veteran versus a prospect fight as you can get in this weight class. Viviana Araújo has been in the UFC for a few years now. Very solid power in her hands, but tends to kind of fall into the same patterns in her fights over and over, where she'll throw a jab and throw a big right hand, and that's about it. It's kind of given her a lot of trouble against more dynamic fighters like Alexa Grasso, the champion. From the top of my head, she also had some trouble with Amanda Ribas for that reason. Against Jennifer Maia, it was a very close fight, which I personally felt like Maia did enough to win, but they gave the decision to Araújo. But yeah, so Araújo has pretty solid power in her hands, but does kind of fall in love with that overhand right. She's got good jiu-jitsu as well if the fight gets there. She's fighting Natalia Silva, who is much more dynamic on the feet. Natalia Silva will throw up head kicks. She'll throw up body punches and, you know, spinning kicks and things like that. She's very slick on the feet, and she seems to have a lot of power. And she just puts, like, some real bite in her punches. You know what I mean? Like, you see her throw these punches and kicks, and she's throwing them with disdain. You know, she doesn't like her opponent. You know, she wants to get them out of there. And I think that, you know, Araújo is very hard to kill. She's super tough. I can't remember a time that she's been finished. Let me look at her record. She got knocked out early in her career, but she hasn't been finished in the UFC. She's shown to be very tough. She's great on the ground, like I said. But I do think Natalia Silva is the more dynamic and has more tools. I think she's a little bit better on the feet, a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. She's also longer. And I think that similar to that Randy Brown versus Muslim Salakov fight, we're going to see the younger, more dynamic striker just have more tools and have more fun and be more flowy than the older vet and be able to get that decision victory. I like Natalia Silva in this fight. They have her at like minus 400, so the odds makers agree. But I don't see her getting a knockout, as Araújo has shown to be very tough. So I'm going to go with Silva by decision. What do you think, Jordan?
Araújo might be my underdog pick for this card. I had her originally, but you might have talked me out of having her in my main part of that. I just think she can get. I think she can get it done, though. Honestly, I think that if she plays a smart fight, I think that she can. I don't know, frustrate Silva. You know, that's what I would like to see. But I'm a big fan of Araújo.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Araújo get it done. I feel like it might be one of those fights where the younger fighter has just a little bit too much to offer right now for her. You know what I mean? Like, it might get to that point where Aru Zhao is starting to decline in her skills. And Natalia Silva is exactly the kind of fighter who can take advantage of that. But that being said, we could be sitting here next week and being like, oh, there's a reason that, you know, Aru Zhao has been in this division for so long. It might look like the fight that Aru Zhao had herself against Jessica Ai, where we were super high on this prospect. In that case, it was Aru Zhao at the time. And she fights this veteran who we thought she would be able to run through. And she ends up just being outgunned by the more technical veteran, you know, the slicker, more experienced fighter. In that case, it was Jessica Ai, who put on her probably career best performance against Aru Zhao. In this case, Aru Zhao might find herself in that spot. So it's kind of interesting to see how that would play out. But I just feel like Silva might have a little bit too, be a little too fast and have a little bit too many tools with the length and everything. So I like her by decision in this fight. Then we got Mahmoud Muradov versus Aliashkab Kurziev. This is a middleweight fight that is really hard to pick, honestly. Muradov got dog walked by Kyle Baraglio not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. Since then, he beat Brian Barbarena, which is, you know, pretty much an IQ test at this point. Aliashkab Kurziev, on the other hand, is a very dominant grappler. I think he could give Muradov a lot of trouble on the ground if the fight goes there. That's where Baraglio was able to have great success against Muradov. Muradov is a kickboxer. Don't let his name fool you. But I don't know. I'm not sure who to pick on that fight. I might stay away from it. You got Gilbert Urbina versus Charles Ratke. This is the fight of Blood Diamonds scraps. Two guys that beat Mike Matheta, Blood Diamond, and now are fighting each other. I think Urbina is just a little bit faster on the feet and definitely better on the ground. And I expect him to use that ground game to get a victory here. I'm going with Urbina relatively safely. That's probably one of the more picks I'm confident in on this card. And then on the prelims, we have a couple interesting women's fights and a couple other interesting fights to start it off. First off, we have Luana Carolina versus Julia Stolyarenko. Stolyarenko started off her UFC career with a bunch of arm bars, or I'm sorry, started off her regular career with a bunch of arm bars. She found a couple in the UFC as well, but for the most part has found herself on bottom position, either getting TKO'd in case of Chelsea Chandler, or just getting, you know, smushed on the ground by Alexa Davis and Yana Kunitskaya. So, you know, she has lost a few times to women who are very dominant on the ground, or strong on the ground, I should say. But she draws here Luana Carolina, who is not that guy, pal, and will probably have a lot of trouble on the ground with Julia Stolyarenko. That being said, there's a world where Luana Carolina just is so much better on the feet than Julia and is able to find a stoppage there, or, you know, just, you know, beat her up for three rounds. So I really feel like that fight could go either way. I think it's going to be another one that's similar to the co-main event in the sense that it's very exciting and either one could get the finish at any moment. But I really don't know who to pick there. I'll probably end up going with that. It doesn't go to decision though. You have a pick for that one, Jordan?
No.
Fair enough. And then we have Meatball Molly McCann coming back. She's fighting Deanna Belbita in a desperate attempt to find Meatball Molly McCann a win. Deanna Belbita, beat Maria Oliveira not too long ago, beat Hannah Goldie. Not the highest level of competition in the UFC by any means. She also lost to Molly McCann earlier in the career. I didn't realize that. I don't remember that fight at
rematch?
All.
This is a rematch?
Yeah. Apparently, Belbita was deducted a point for grabbing the cage in that fight. I'm not sure if that had any effect on the decision. Let me check out the cards. No, she was losing 30-26 either way. So...
So should get a little win here, Meatball Molly.
Sounds like Molly beat the shit out of her a few years ago. And I don't know that Belbita has improved much more. So I guess this is another one for Molly McCann. You know, we'll see how it goes. She should be able to get this done. It's kind of a weird rematch to make. I mean, she is coming off of two losses by submission, so I understand wanting to give her a layup fight here. So yeah, I think they have her as a favorite, rightly so. I'll probably go with Molly McCann in this one. I don't know if she'll get a finish or not, but I'll take her money line either way. A couple other fights on this card I want to jump over. You got Themba Garimbo versus Pete Rodriguez. This is a very exciting matchup. Pete Rodriguez has a lot of power in his hands. He has a very interesting boxing style. where he unloads when he finds the opportunity, but stays pretty composed regardless of that. He's not fought a lot of people in the UFC. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's 1-2. He beat Mike Jackson, which, of course, he did. That guy fought CM Punk. That's why he was in the UFC. And then he lost to Jack Della Maddalena, which, of course, he did, because Jack Della Maddalena is a fucking monster. And, you know, on the verge of a top five fight right now with Gilbert Burns. So no shame in losing to Jack Della Maddalena. No shame in beating Mike Jackson. Those are things that were supposed to happen for Pete Rodriguez. So kind of an unknown Rodriguez. What we do know about him is that he has great power in his hands. He has good boxing, very clean on the feet. We haven't seen a lot of him on the ground, though. And that's where he's going to get tested in this fight against Themba Garimbo. African fighter, I believe he's from the Congo, if I'm not mistaken. And he is very solid on the ground. He's from Zimbabwe, my mistake. Very solid on the ground, has a lot of submissions on his record. And recently got a nice little buzz on social media because The Rock tweeted at him or like sent him money or something. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, like The Rock bought him a house. Okay, that's crazy. That's insane. But yeah, the guy's very solid on the ground. He doesn't have money.
Well, I mean, I imagine The Rock can buy like a lot of houses in Zimbabwe.
I'd hope so.
You know, you would think.
No, I mean, I'm sure he bought it in America. I hope he might have bought a hut. I'm sure Zimbabwe has more infrastructure than I'm aware of. But yeah, Themba Garimbo looks very talented on the ground. And Rodriguez has not been tested there, you know? So if Garimbo gets it down to the ground, there's a good chance that he's able to find that submission. Garimbo's also been knocked out before. And Rodriguez hits very hard, like we said. So there's a world where Rodriguez gets the finish on the feet. I think it's a pretty interesting fight here, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm actually, you sold me on that one. I'm gonna be early up on the prelims watching that one.
That's the one to watch for me on the prelims. I think that's a sleeper for sure. I think either guy can get it done. They have Garimbo as a big favorite at like -250 because of that rub from The Rock. People have heard about him and they're rooting for him.
Might be a good chance to get a little extra money on Pete Rodriguez over here.
That's what I'm thinking. I think Pete is a solid underdog here. I think he can find that chin. You know, he's a great striker, as I've alluded to. At least I think so. From what I've seen in the tape and everything, I think he's very crispy. So I think a safe bet is for the fight to not go the distance. But I like Rodriguez in the underdog slot. And I kind of feel the same way about the Moicano-Dober fight, where it's safe bets for it to not go the distance. But I like Dober in the underdog spot. And then another fight I wanted to touch on here, Landon Quinones versus Markel Medeiros. Markel Medeiros, I think, is a very solid bet on this card. He's very well-rounded, and Quinones has shown to kind of crumble as the fight goes on. And I think Medeiros is one of those guys that builds as the fight goes on. So I'm just going to go with Markel Medeiros here. I think it's an easy pick for me. And then Lee Jong-Yong versus Blake Builder has massive meme potential. Both these guys fight very sloppily sometimes, and I can see this fight being very funny. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. And then, of course, you have Jamal Pogues as a heavyweight starting off the main card, and you got to see those beefy boys swing, you know what I mean? So I think this is a fight card to watch front to back. There's going to be a lot of fighters you don't know on this card. Let's get it out of the way. But you know, I think there's a lot of potential for very interesting fights and a lot of potential for finishes on this fight card. So, I think all in all, it's going to be an exciting one, but you know, we'll see how it shakes out. And at the top of the card, we do have a couple of fights that have, you know, contender, ranking, what's it called? Implications, you know, if Dober, Moicano, or Imavov or Dolidze get a huge win here, I think we could be seeing them hit the rankings pretty soon, see a number near their name. And in the Dober versus Imavov, or I'm sorry, the Dolidze versus Imavov case, we might see one of those guys emerge as a title contender in a couple years. So let's get into the betting slip. Here we go. Jordan, what do you got for this card?
I think I'm going to keep it pretty simple. I'm going to have Imavov money line. I got Drew Dober money line. I got the Rude Boy Randy Brown money line, as well as Molly McCain in a nice little parlay. And I will be looking at that I'll be looking at that Pete Rodriguez fight for sure as well.
All right, hell yeah. I'm gonna go Imavov over 2.5 on the main event. I'm gonna go Drew Dober in the underdog slot in the co-main. I'm also gonna put that fight to not go the distance. Or, you know, like I said, the 50-50 shot, Moicano by decision or submission, or Dober by TKO. I'm going to go with Randy Brown by decision against Salikov. I'm going to put Gilbert Urbina in my parlay. I'm going to put Natalia Silva by decision. I'm going to put Molly McCann and Pete Rodriguez and Marco Medeiros. It's kind of a long slip, but the ones that I'm most confident in, I'm going to put together Randy Brown, Medeiros, and Urbina. I think put those together, it's probably going to be some nice odds there. You could throw in Natalia Silva as well, and we'll see how things shake out, man. Yeah, thank you very much for listening, y'all. Now we're going to do the proper send-off. It's been a pleasure. Next week, we've got a pretty exciting card to break down. Joe Pyfer versus Jack Hermanson, in a slot where Pyfer can see that ranking emerge and start to really prove himself as a contender at middleweight.
His for the taking, baby. All he's got to do is do it.
Yeah, man. I think between him, Nickel, and Ikram Alaskarov, middleweight is going to get some very fresh blood soon. So I'm excited to see where it all shakes out, man. Thank you very much for watching, y'all. And we'll see you back here next week with a lot more money in your pocket, hopefully. All right. Take it easy.